Title, if you want to write it down, hallelujah. A Place, a Purpose. Connie was preaching my sermon, didn't even know where I was going tonight. I love that. Write down, if you will, Proverbs 29:18. I want to read just a portion of it in three different translations. King James says, where there is not a vision, the people perish. New King James then says, where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint. I like the New Living Translation. It says, when people do not accept divine guidance, they run wild. Listen, you've got to have in your gut a feeling of what God wants you to be doing. You've got to have a direction. You've got to be thinking about doing. It's like starting a project. I'm one that sees things before it's built. I've got to know where it's going. When we built the TV room back here, we laid the two befores out and kind of looked to where it was at and kind of thought in our minds how it would work and what it would do before we even started. There had to be an expectation. There had to be a vision. There had to be, or it would not have been built. The sound booth in the back was the same way. We laid it out. We decided what's too big, what's too little. This will work, that'll work. That's looking ahead. That's having a vision. That's having a direction. Maybe you're working on class in youth somewhere on a Sunday or on a Wednesday night. You rotate. You have to think about that class a week ahead. Sometimes you forget, you go, oh, but you still have a direction you're going in your purpose. You might be in your marriage and you know you've got an anniversary coming up. You have to be thinking about that anniversary. Boy, you want to do that, guys. Don't let that one go. Because if you don't, you're going to perish. That's what the scripture says. I'm trying to get a point across. If you come in this place and you have no direction and you just come and you just, well, I'm just going to get fed, you will get so fat and so uncomfortable that you'll leave. Because God didn't design you just not to have a purpose. You have to come into any settings. I don't care if you're coming into a marriage. I don't care if you're coming into a relationship. I don't care if you're coming into a fellowship somewhere. I don't care if you're going to Walmart. You've got to have this mindset and this vision and this purpose. God, what have you got? You say, even Walmart? Everywhere you go. I don't care if you're going to Rozier's, out the grocery store. You don't just go in thinking about you. If you are, you're one of those people that sees nobody. We went to the new restaurant over in Perryville. What's it called? It's where Ponderosa used to be. But example, we went in. Okay, it's Smorgasbord, so we looking down and found our trays underneath all of these, so much food. It's unbelievable. And we're getting our food. My vision's on the food. Getting it back to the table. Went back the next time, and then I happened to look up, and they've got this really different light right about in the center of the room. I'd went half the time I was there and never, ever seen that light. See, if you're not looking around, if you're not purposing to carry the gospel, and we used to think, well, everywhere we go, we've got to preach to somebody. It doesn't say that. It does not. Most of the time when we tried to do that, we messed it up. It's just so much easier just to go have a purpose to be you. Have a purpose to love on somebody. Have a purpose to hug somebody. Have a purpose just when you see somebody, how's your family? Have a purpose in that marriage to take care of your wife. Have a purpose not to think about what you need. What does she need? And then if she turns around and does the same thing to you, then every need is met. The Bible says about marriage, wives, respect your husband. Do you know why it says that? It's because every man has to have respect. When there's no respect, you're going to have a whole different household. But then it goes the other way. You've got to love her as Christ loved the church. But see, you've got to have a vision and a purpose for every... I'm not talking about your particular place in the body of Christ or your particular place at work. I'm talking about you've got to have an everyday vision and purpose that I'm working for God, and that is my calling. I don't care what you're doing. I don't care if you're at the penitentiary. I don't care if you're where you're working. If you're pushing the carts at Walmart back in, you've got a purpose that when you see people, you greet them. I can't think of the man's name that lives above you, Tony. Daryl. Daryl's been coming to church. And Daryl's coming to church because people in this body have been loving him as the cart pusher. That's what he does. He gets the carts and he works at Walmart, but he's always smiling. He's always in a good mood. He's a great guy. Got a great little daughter. Just a great guy. But if you don't have a purpose and all you're thinking about is yourself, you'll get out of your car, you'll walk in, you'll get what you got to get, and you'll get out because you're just thinking about you. That's not a vision. You'll perish because you'll be so caught up in yourself that you'll think, well, there's no peace in this place. There's no life in that place. I'm not going to that place. I'm not going to this place. And all the while, it's just because all you're thinking about is you. You can't. This guy's got to get out of the way. You know, there was a question asked in a group of people, why do you go to church? The answer was for God. No. You don't come to church for God. He don't need that. You come into church for other people. My mom got me on that one. Oh, Mom, there's just no life in that church. Boy, did I get ripped on. Ronnie Mann, she said. You're going, and you can get something from God, but you can't get something from God unless you're serving, unless you're just go with a smile on your face. Go encourage somebody. You don't have to preach the gospel to anybody. Just let them know you care. Everybody wants loved. That's what it's all about. We've got to come to the place to recognize when people do not accept divine guidance, well, what for? Follow what he wants you to do right here. You have a GPS that has not even, don't even have to be dealing with a satellite. It can be a cloudy day and you can still hear God. Did you get that? You can have a cloudy day and still hear God. But if you're all consumed with what you want, your guidance gets all messed up and you will perish. You will perish. He has a purpose for everybody. God's got direction and purpose for every one of our lives. Folks, Just in relationships, do you know that everything is just for a time and a season? The people you're around may not be here next week. The people at work may not be there the next week. Wherever you're at, you've got to take and let that fulfill, be what God wants you to be, and just be you. Be what God built you to be. Allow the purpose. Jeremiah, we use this scripture a lot. Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans or the design I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good, not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. I love the word hope. Positive expectation of good. It's a positive. I know, I don't think it might happen. I know that it's going to happen. I know that God's going to take care of me. I know that whatever you walk through, I walk through, I'm going to come through. I know. See, you got to get to this place, and we've been teaching on that. You've got to get to the place where you know that you're going to set yourself in such a place that you're going to receive the blessing of God, because he's already done everything for you on the cross. It's done. It's finished. He's not doing any more things for you. It's accomplished. We just have to come to that place in our life where we just know that we can have it, and we have a positive expectation that everything's going to be all right, because everything is. Everything always works out. Everything It's so cool to know that I'm going to be okay tomorrow. I may go through some bumpy times, but I'm going to be okay. And my purpose is to love everybody I come in contact with, to take that extra time. And I'm real bad at, when I talk to people about things, I'm just, let's get it over with. Let's get on to the next thing. Don't you understand? Let's go. I'm not one that hangs around and talks about, you know, it's kind of like, I don't like to read books that tell me that the roses are red and they've got a long, beautiful stem and the grass is growing beautiful around it. I just want to know they got a rose. I don't need all that other stuff. I'm not detailed when it's like that. Let's just get on and get the job done. So I'm trying to come to that place of when I'm in Walmart and I'm running somebody to give them that. They don't want no more than 30 seconds. Give them that 30 seconds when I don't want to give them 30 seconds. I deal with people all the time. I don't even want to talk to them. I mean, come on. In reality, because we're all selfish. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says you're all very selfish. And the Bible says that the time's going to come when we're all going to be lovers. And not talking about the world. It's us. We're going to become lovers of self. Yeah. Well, how can I operate with a vision when all I'm thinking is about is me? Yeah. I've got to make myself stop and look at the roses. I can't just pass by and know I got them there. I've got to take the time to see what God wants and see if there's an opportunity to, when I say hello to this person, that they might need something to talk about. These people at Walmart, folks, that stand at the cash register all day. Do you think that's easy? They're on their feet all day dealing with all kinds of people. Wouldn't it be nice if you give them a little extra grace and a little extra courtesy? And how are you today? And how long you got? I talked to a man. And I said, well, it was Joe Ward's boy. I said, how much time you got left? Because I could tell he was tired. He said, 27 minutes. I said, man, you got it down. He said, yeah, but I'm going to go to my second job. I said, and? He said, let's go check on Dad. So that gave me the opportunity to sit there and how's he doing it, da-da-da-da-da-da. But there was a time in my life when that wasn't my purpose. I had to get in. I had to get out. I don't have time for you. See, that's not purpose. See, in following Christ and in knowing that he's got things for me, then we can come to that place of living a more exciting life. I mean, you can get to the place where your heart's just, like Connie shared earlier, when you get in a place where you're serving where God wants you, even if you're serving in something working toward where God's got you, there's something, Ashley tonight, first time she sang a main song, you got a good voice. But I know as well as she knows, God's grace. Good. Excellent. But there's so much more joy when you finally can step out and say, okay, I'm going to use my gifting. Let me use my gifting. Let me go where God wants. Let me smile at people. See, this is all part of the vision. I can remember when I used to work at the coal mines and it was just all about me and it was just all about that. I never took the time to give me all my equipment. Dad taught me how to run equipment pretty good. I'm a pretty good operator. Let me just show the world how good I can run. Well, I found out real quick that you get humbled really fast when you start thinking about just you. I was in the military. I was running heavy equipment and was one of the better operators, but then you let pride get in, and pretty soon you roll one over on its side, which they're not supposed to operate that way. Or you run a big end loader to mines, and you're pretty good. You can outload the electric loader, which is pretty good feat. You kick more coal out of the pit than the electric loader was kicking up, and then the bucket settles down going down the road, and the big 18-yard spade bucket catches in the ground, and you stop really fast. Because folks, God loves you. He wants you to start putting your mind on others. Your purpose. You say, well, I don't know my purpose. Let me tell you your purpose. Others. That's it. Doesn't matter where you are. Doesn't matter where you work. It doesn't make a difference where you're at. Your purpose is others. You're not happy just in yourself. Because it's called self-destruct for a reason. Because you will self-destruct. Because when you start looking in the mirror, and you really start looking in the mirror, you really see how bad you're looking. And the older you get, the worse you're looking. Gravity starts taking hold. And you want to stand on your head and get everything going the other way. And when that becomes your life, you're not thinking about other people. Come on. Where's your passion? Wherever your passion is where you're going to go. Is your passion to bring other people to Christ? Is your passion to love people? Is your passion to just be rebellious and be against everybody? That's where you'll go. See, in this purpose of serving others, you need to ask God, give me a passion for the hearts of the people. Give me a passion to just love people. Show me. Give me. Because you'll find, you know, Connie has different passions. And when she, even when she feels bad, if she's got a passion to do something, that lady's going to do it. We're painting the entryway in our house now, and she had a passion to change it. Well, her passion ends up having to be my passion. Because the only way the passion's going to get finished is when everybody has the same passion. And now she's got gray walls and I have a brown floor. So guess what? Gray and brown doesn't go together. So I've got to now have a passion to get a floor tore up and put down. So I've already got a vision. I've already got a direction. Now I'm just trying to make this simple. It's just no different than this. You know, interior designers, they've got to see it before. They've got a vision. They can walk through these craft shops, and all the while they're walking through, they're seeing different rooms. And they've got a direction. Well, see, this is what I'm going to have to do now in this when you walk in. I got to get a, so we got to go tomorrow sometime. Somewhere we got to work it in. And I've got to see the tile so I can start getting the vision so I can know this is how your life is supposed to be with people. Yes, we have to do our stuff like this I'm talking about. But when you come to church, when you go to work, when you go to the grocery store, when you go get gas at Casey's, your mind shouldn't be getting gas. Your mind shouldn't be just getting a cup of coffee. Your mind shouldn't be just getting groceries. Your mind should be, who will I run into? Who don't I want to run into, maybe? But who will I run into? And when I run into them, Lord, give me what I need to just bless them. Bring remembrance of their name for one thing, and then how many kids, and just help me to lift their day up, because they may be having a crummy day and maybe they've not been taught in church that this is what it's all about. And help me just be an asset to them. Help me have a purpose. If you don't have a vision, if you just go to these places and if you just run through your day and it's all about you, you will be absolutely miserable. Think about Joseph. Folks, his family threw him in a well. Now, he had better had a vision that there's something better than this. Or at that point, he would have went crazy. Then he gets arrested, sold, a slave. He had better have a vision of what God had planned for him. Then he got put in jail. I mean, we go down his life of all the things that you haven't had a problem. And all the while, God has a plan. I'm going to use him, and I'm going to work him because he accepts where he is, and God's going to use that area of what he's walking through to help me grow up. See, folks, when things are tough, you get tougher. Joseph couldn't run off. He was in prison. So instead of whining and crying, he just toughened up. And God give him dreams. God give him visions. God gave everybody's attention. Who is this guy in there? And then he even thought, I'm getting out. And the butler got into self and didn't think about who brought him up. See, if you don't have a vision, you don't have a direction, you are going to rot in your own shoes. You are going to be miserable. You're going to go from place to place. You're never going to be happy. You're just going to be, you're going to talk yourself into being an old grouch. Where if your mind is always on, what can I do? Who can I reach? Folks, you don't have to study this thing and learn how to give somebody a salvation message. I mean, that's all good to do that, and you need to know that. But you just need to accept people where they are. You just need purpose to say hello to them. How you doing? What's going on in your life? Everything going to be all right? Can I give you a ride? You need to go somewhere. Kelly, once again, the man's still blessing me going down the river. I'm telling you what, I talked to him last night on the phone for probably 30 minutes. He's downriver, ran into this little Baptist church, and the little Baptist church, now listen to this, talking about, think about other people, little Baptist church built a building that's got four showers for the men and four showers for the women, and as people canoe and go by on the river, boaters, they purpose to pull the people over and give them a place to sleep. He said, I could sleep there if I wanted to, but I enjoy where I sleep. But he said, I was able to go in and take a shower and clean up, and they fed him. And he said, I don't really want to leave, but I'm going to go on down the river Thursday. And listen to what they did. His boat was sitting low. The company was flooded out, sitting on the river, and they couldn't do nothing. So they took this great big backhoe, and they picked his boat up and let the water run out of his pontoons. They welded his pontoons where they were leaking and fixed him up and set him back in the water. Well, why? Because they weren't thinking about their self. Could you imagine how the guys felt that did their normal, move the barges around, this job that gets so boring, and we do the same thing, and now they're not working, and they're sitting in the shanty, they call it, they're just doing nothing, and the boss comes, hey guys, I got a job for you. Let's pick that pontoon boat up, and let's weld the side, and let's patch it up and fix him up so he can get on down the river. They'll never forget that. Then they took Kelly, and they put him up in one of the barges. The river had come down a little bit, and they had some work to do. They let him drive the tugboat. He said, it was a trip, he said. This is the Kelly that, and he said, I'm going to church tonight, and then I'm going to leave Thursday morning, and I'm going to New Madrid. Going to New Madrid, that's where his next stop is. He said, the river people's just blessing me. And I said, buddy, you're blessing me. Why? Because some of the people, Jeremy started it. Some of the people in this body took the time to go love him. From that love, listen, that's your purpose. It's not thinking about you. You'll rot. But when we get to heaven, the little bit we did for that man, because he's taken grace on down the river. We're so thankful that we got telephones and can keep in touch. I'll look down. Oh, there's Kelly. And he's keeping in touch with the guy that runs Red Dot. He's keeping in touch with Ike Tressler. I mean, they're just talking back and forth and just talking about things. All because people reached out and their purpose was to bless other people. That's where it's at. I about drowned in the river trying to bless people, but I still, I tried. Thank God the Lord got me out of the river. Listen, it's all good. You gotta find that. Lord, what's my passion? And everybody's got it here. You all gifted differently. Like we've got the singers and we've got the door greeters and we've got the ushers and we've got all the people that work around about. That's all a purpose. You're not a door greeter and people come in and you say, well, where you been? Grow up. No, you say, how? You don't even say, how are you? Because then you'll stand there for 35 minutes and hear how bad things are. You just say, it's good to see you. I'm glad you're here. There's a purpose in that because you're encouraging that person that we love you here. And you come on in and you're going to get the word and you're going to be able to worship and praise. And it's an awesome time and you're going to love it. Every one of us has got something, and we got to find where we got to go. But in that purpose, your purpose is to reach people. I mean, that's just bottom line. That's where it's at. You know, you're very unfulfilled when you're not there. You don't realize it because you're thinking about you. But you know, James 3 and 4 talks about it just takes a very, very small rudder to head the ship in different directions. But you know, if you don't have a rudder, sometimes purpose is your rudder. And it can be a small, small rudder, but you still are heading toward that direction. Then in James, it says later on in there, it says that if you doubt that you have a purpose, basically, you're unstable in all your ways. See, we've got to recognize that God has called us to reach people. And you don't have to be a talking witness. Just be a being and a doing. Just be a spirit being. Just reach out. You know, the Derrick's family, they've got a house full of kids, and they reached out and got two more now. Foster kids that they've got. I mean, they got a house full of kids. I mean, they got a house full of kids. Little people. And now they got two more little people. What are they doing? They're not thinking about themselves. Because if you're thinking about yourself, house is a lot more peaceful just as to you and mama. Yeah, yeah. Our expectations, folks, has to continue to be in what God wants. Our expectation, that expectation, that purpose. I mean, think about what Noah, let's go way back. Think about Noah. God said, I want you to build a boat. First he said, okay, I'm going to catch the vision, Lord, but what's a boat? There was no body of water then. No rain. The water was coming up through the ground, and everything was water, but their boat. He had to get a purpose. Then we can tell by Scripture that the people didn't like him cutting all these trees down and building this thing. But he had a purpose, and he had a vision, and he had a direction. And then you know they really thought he was weird when he said, I'm going to bring all the animals in. You are really crazy. He had to keep his purpose. He had to keep his direction. He couldn't listen to the people to the right and to the left. And like me and Doc was talking earlier, everybody's got their opinion. And see, if you listen to opinions and you don't listen to God, you're going to be in trouble real quick. That's why the news messes you up so much. It just becomes their opinion. It's not the news, it's their opinion. And who are they? You know, I really get tickled when you get the movie stars and all that group giving you a political opinion. They're actors. Who cares what your opinion is? You can act like a goofball, but that didn't give you understanding of the political arena overseas. But see, they're not chasing their purpose. They're just getting in the... Oh, I guess maybe they are chasing their purpose. We got to be reaching. We got to find out what God wants. We got to recognize. You know, Philippians 1:6 says, he who began a good work in you will complete it. But now, wait a minute. Who can mess it up? Only you. You say, well, yeah, but you just read Scripture that said God will finish the work he started. Yeah, he'll get you out the other end. He'll get you to heaven. But between here and there, he has a purpose and lives for you to touch. He already knows who you didn't and who you're going to. I understand that because that's the sovereignty of God. But there's lots of failures in my life that I know could have been better. Lots of choices. Because, see, I have a choice. And lots of times in fear, I won't step out and do that. You know, That's like the ones that come up on stage. We probably have a whole lot of people in our whole body that can sing and can play instruments, but because of fear, they wouldn't even think about coming and talking to Neil. Because, oh, I don't want to do that. Well, why not? Maybe that's your purpose. You know, I knew at 12 I was going to be doing this. But I was never taught any of this. And at 32, finally, the Lord smacked me around and said, what are you doing? I got a plan for you, and I got a purpose for you. Let's finish the coal mine purpose out. And let's get to grace. And let's spend 40, 50 years there. I got 30 in. So I'm not going nowhere. Nobody's going to take over. Here I am. Because I got a purpose. It's what gets me up in the morning. And when I get all into the, oh, things are rough and things are tough, then I have trouble getting out of bed. Anybody notice that? Yeah. When I was running cross country back in high school, it was roll out of bed, hit the ground, run 4 miles. That was nothing, man. I loved it. Why? I had a purpose. You getting up in the morning and you're thinking about you, you wants to stay in bed. Think about your problems. What do? You stay in bed. Betty right now, her schedule's just crazy. I mean, she's on demand because she's got kids to help and Jeanette to help and Olivia to help. And if when Jeanette couldn't do and she just had her, delivered her baby, then at 5:30 she was up and then she went till she crashed at night. And there's grace for it. But you know you got to have a purpose to keep going. And God's going to grace it for the next 4 or 5 months. And got a grace doc that he's eating canned soup and stuff he don't even know what it looks like. And that green stuff that grows on stuff in the refrigerator. Betty told him, you don't eat that. You scrape that off. Folks, you got to have a purpose. You got to recognize, I've got to find where I go. But most of all, I've got a purpose. My job is to get out of me and start looking for other people. Get out of me and start encouraging other people. Come to the place. Abraham. It says in Romans 4:18, even when there was no reason for hope, even when there was no reason for positive expectations of good, even when he knew he's old as dirt, even when he knew mama didn't do nothing for him right now, even when he knew, the Bible says, even when he knew no reason for hope, Abraham kept hoping and believing. If you get up every morning and you say, Lord, use me today. Open up some place where I can just love somebody. Don't start with, let me preach the gospel to somebody. Don't go there. Just let me love somebody. Let me have an encouraging word. Let me be using the gifts of the Spirit that you'll flow through me, and I'll start getting comfortable with these, and I'll start getting comfortable with words of knowledge, and I'll start getting comfortable with words of wisdom, and I'll be able to exhort and encourage and help me remember people's names where I can one-on-one say, how are you and what's going on in your life? You say, well, Pastor, you keep repeating yourself. I know, because I want you to get your purpose. You're not fulfilled until you do. And I want you fulfilled. That's part of my responsibility, is to teach you and train you how to fulfill your purpose. And your purpose is just to love everybody. I mean, I was so blessed when he was telling me about this little Baptist church down there. And the pastor goes down. When the weather's right and he knows there's people up and down the river, he goes down to there's a wall. And he goes down, and when people pass by, he hollers at them. Hey, you need to stop and take a break. I got a place you can shower. Come on up to the church. That's his purpose. That's part of his purpose. It's not a big church. He shot me a picture. The whole church is smaller than this right here, with very few people in the front. But they're reaching, touching people with God's purpose. They spent the money to build this little building behind the church. Little fellowship area where they could shower. They got cots and bunks where they could hang out if they needed to for a while. There's a purpose. You say, well, are they preaching them the gospel then? I don't know what they're doing. They're just loving them. That is preaching. That is doing what needs to be done. We just catch them when they freeze up and they can't get away. We're not down there pulling them in. We're just waiting until the ice comes on. Then they can't get away and we get them. Hebrews 11:6, it says, he is a rewarder to those who diligently seek him. Who is? God is. And the way you seek him is you're seeking other people. The way you seek him is you're being like him. You're just loving people. I got so tickled. Steve Furtick, the other day, he had a teaching on the savage Jesus. And truthfully, he was very savage. He was tough. Everybody, you know, I can remember in that little Methodist church in Percy I was at, and Jesus is in a stained glass window holding a little lamb. Well, I'm sure he did that. Folks, he knew his purpose. And there wasn't nothing going to stop his purpose. He didn't care what. I mean, when he was getting questioned, who are you? He was wise enough to know that his mouth had such power that he could only say what he's supposed to say at that moment, or it would have changed the destiny of everything. Your words and your mouth in tough situations, tough times, can destroy other people, and you didn't even know you did it. See, we have got to get our focus. All right, God, what have you got for us? But I don't have any direction to go today. Just get up and do your normal routine and ask God in the process of it, Lord, show me somebody to love. Show me somebody to encourage. Pull me towards. I'm going to Walmart, Lord. And you know what our thing is? And give me a good parking place. Well, that would be cool too, Lord. We could take that. But Lord, when I go in, when I see the man that's pushing these carts in and out all day, and what do you do with your shopping cart? Yeah, or do you put it where it goes?
You're meddling.
Your purpose is to do what you're supposed to do. Well, they got people to do that. Yeah, and then when you see one rolling down the parking lot that somebody else didn't put away and you're dodging it, and when they hit the side of your car, you're going, I reaped what I sowed, didn't I? Get your purpose. Get your purpose. Get your purpose. Get your purpose. When somebody else is coming up and they're unloading their cart and you haven't gotten your car yet, what's wrong with you grabbing their cart and for them taking and putting it away? See, they're going up. What are you doing? Oh, I'll take it for you. You know, you're limping just like they're limping, but you get it there. See that? You say, well, you mean that's a purpose? Yeah, that's a purpose. Look forward to those kind of things. It makes you feel good that you was able to help. You know, the old thing, help the little lady across the road. Well, now we're all that way. two people helping each other across the road. I love Al Kohutsky's old saying, help me, Jesus. Help me, Jesus. Folks, expectation is not determined by circumstance or how it looks or feels. Did you hear that? Expectation is not determined on the circumstance, how it looks, or how it feels. Your expectations of the things of God are constant. You constantly got to hope that you can do better for people. You constantly got to hope that things are going to get better, because they are. You constantly have a hope when you're going through hard times. You constantly have a hope. It's like Lisa King tonight. She, when I text her, I got tickled. You know how the telephone texts us what it wants sometimes if you don't really pay attention. I texted that we were praying for her, and it come out P-A-R-R-Y or something. Oh, I don't even know what. And she texts back, you mean prayer? Yeah. But she was, at that time, was spiking with her temperature she's fighting right now. She's going through whatever, what it's called. Maybe she's got what? Something A? Maybe she's got influenza A. Maybe she's got that thing. But our job is to pray for her. Our purpose is to, we know about it now. Connie brought it up. So now you got a purpose. I'm going to pray for Lisa. I'm going to lift Lisa up. Listen, we talked about it last service. What you're doing when you pray for people is you are positioning something to get in line with the blessing. See, prayer is positioning, because he's already done it. He already wants to dump this stuff on us. And praying for somebody like Lisa that is too sick to pray, but she's never too sick to pray. She's like her mom. She just, that's what she's doing. But we are behind her, and our purpose should be, when we hear these kind of things, okay, Lord, I'm gonna do like Connie does. I'm gonna write this down, and then every time for the next few days I think about Lisa, what you're doing is you're positioning her and you and everything so the blessings can funnel down and she can receive her healing. When people are gone astray, or people are doing things they shouldn't be doing, or you got family members that are going and coming where they shouldn't be going and coming, our purpose is to not get all excited and worried and strong. Let God have them and pray and position where they get so blessed. Whenever Mom finally said to Joyce, "I quit. God's got you." And that's just how Mom did. I remember. I said, "How's Joyce?" "I don't know, God's got her." I said, "Really?" She said, "Yep, God's got her." And wouldn't talk about it. Wasn't going to go negative with it. God will take care of it. God come down and took care of it. Well, what happened? There was a purpose. Intercessory prayer is that. That's a purpose. When you get me on your heart, pray. Don't say, "Oh, God bless him." Say, "Thank you, Lord, that he's blessed. Give him what he needs. Bring in that $1 million he needs for the church to do things they want to do." I mean, why not? It's not going to happen until we get positioned for it to happen. And if you don't have a purpose, you'll never get positioned. "Lord, take me to, when I go to Walmart today, Lord, let me run into somebody that I can encourage." What are you doing? You're praying. You're positioning. You're setting yourself. If you didn't even think about it, it won't hardly ever happen. But if you got a purpose, then your mouth lines your position. And you get in that position for to be a blessing for somebody else. And then God's going to do the same for you. Other people are going to be praying for you, and then you're covered. Connie was talking about warfare. Folks, we're not the only ones that are fighting fights. Every church is fighting now. We are. Folks, listen. We are winding down.
Yes, we are.
And there is such an onslaught of fight right now in every church, in every family, in everybody that's trying to walk with God. Right now, people are just leaving without even knowing why they leave. Out of all churches, that's just demonic spirits. And we've got to fight and stand our ground and say, "No, I'm not going nowhere when the fight's on. I'm fighting with the crowd. I'm winning. We win." See, that's the part. We win. So why wouldn't you want to be on the winning side? Why wouldn't you want to wear the armor and get to walk down? But you got to have a purpose. If you're just thinking about you, you will self-destruct. You will go through a time that you don't need to go through. God will pull you out because God's going to finish the project. Every time. He always does. But let's do what we can do while we're here. Let's put a smile on our face. Going to be okie dokie. We're going to make it. Everything's going to be all right. This cancer is not going to get me. This arthritis is not going to get me. I will not let it have me, because I'm going to win. I am going to win. I'm telling you, one of these days, we decide that when she gets her miracle, we're going to have metal all over the floor down here. It's kind of like we're saying, "Okay, doctor, fix me so I can work. But when the Lord heals me, all that metal, we're going to bring it back to you." Wouldn't that be a witness?
Oh, my land.
Take all that metal, fall out of her body, and put it in a 5-gallon bucket, and take it up to... Take it up to the doctor and dump all that metal out and say, "You recognize those screws? You recognize those pins that come out of my woman?" You all think, "Well, he's gone nuts now." No. I'm telling you, we are getting to that time. Signs and wonders are going to blow your mind. We can't work them up. We can even think sometimes, well, there's just not much of the gifts moving right now. You don't make the gifts move. But you wait. Because it says in the end times, there's going to be such a harvest. Well, what brought the harvest back then?
Signs and wonders.
Signs and wonders. Everybody he touched got healed.
Yeah.
demons were cast out, you wouldn't know what to do if you were in a service where demons got cast out. And I'm not talking fake ones, because we went through all of that. I'm talking when, because everybody here is battling a wrong spirit. You don't have a demon, but they're sitting on your shoulders talking to you. They're always out there. We're constantly being influenced by the wrong thing. But if you got a purpose, it don't make any difference. When I worked at the mines and I run a big dozer up in the spoils, and that's where they pile the dirt up, if you don't understand what I'm talking about. My vision, when I'd get on the dozer and I would see these long spoils that need to be leveled out, my purpose was, I'm going to get to the end of this for the night. And I'd push the dirt off, push the dirt off, push the dirt off, push the dirt off. I had a purpose. But those guys that come to work and didn't have any direction, their day was boring, their life was boring. I had one guy that literally was in a big open push, and we pushed for hundreds of yards. And he worked third shift, that's nights. He would go down clear to the end, and he would build a berm. Then he would come up at this end and turn around, and he'd build a berm. And then he was back his track. Seriously, I watched this happen. He'd back his tractor up to this berm, and then he'd pick the blade up a little bit off the ground so the boss couldn't see it from afar, and he'd just put it in gear, and it click, 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 like he was pushing dirt, and he would bump into that berm, and then he would put it in reverse and close his eyes and click, 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 run into that berm. That's what he did all night. That man didn't have a purpose. Some people are living that way. I'm so into me, and I need my little West. Click, click, click. I couldn't imagine doing that, because what if click, 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 over the berm? Yeah, because just on the other side of that was a 40-foot drop-off into 60-foot of water. But yet he was so confident. Click, 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 click. There's no purpose. And that's how he lived. And if you seen him today, you'd go, that dude got no purpose. See, you got a purpose. Everybody here's got a purpose. First of all, your purpose is just to love everybody you come in contact with. And then let God direct you towards your purpose in your activities and your giftings and your callings. But if you can't love people, you'll never fall into your purpose anyway. Let's stand up. Let's stand up. Let's just give this to God tonight. Father, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you. Lord, I know everybody here and everybody by internet. Father, we thank you that you have designed every one of us to have a purpose and a direction. And I thank you, Father, that we're going to pull ourselves daily. We have to fight ourselves out of ourselves. And help us to just get up in the morning and help us to just love on you and ask you to just give us some place somewhere on that day to make a difference in somebody's life, and let that be the purpose that we have. Father, we thank you that everybody's gifted, everybody's anointed, and everybody has a purpose for life, or we wouldn't be here. And we thank you, Father, that everybody by the sound of my voice is going to just really say, Lord, I want to do. I want to have that purpose. And we thank you for it, Father. We trust in you, and we give you all the praise tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Call you blessed. You are dismissed. The elders will be up front if you need prayer and agreement for anything. Always good to be in agreement with what you need.